Well, the last couple of weeks, we really just started into this new series. It's summer story time. And so we're taking the whole summer to look at what I think are the best stories that have ever been told. And they're the parables of Jesus. Because, well, they're just so much fun. And they're so interesting. And Jesus just had this great style of teaching that would just capture people's imaginations and hearts. And in a way that was fresh and new. That they weren't used to. And it drew them in. And so we're looking, a week at a time, just that we're going to probably hit about 10 or 12 parables this summer. So last Sunday, we looked at that little family business parable, the vineyard owner and his two sons, and what that had to say. And so we kind of get into another story that at least with me has to do with a family business, and I'll share about that in a little bit. But I came across an article on parables this week that I thought just really summed it up really well. I wanted to share this snippet with you. Jesus was a storyteller. And it's true, he wasn't just like any old teacher. He really taught so often through telling stories that were vivid and colorful. He told his stories to teach. He wanted his listeners to learn about God and about themselves. The stories he told were filled with humor, common sense, biting satire, we'll see some of those, and deep spiritual truth. They prodded, they stimulated, they raised questions, they answered questions. And they always pointed the listeners towards God's highest way for their lives. Remember that the purpose of these parables is to poke holes in our religious balloons, to deflate our own understanding so we can be filled with the spiritual understanding of the Holy Spirit. I just thought that was a good image to think of why Jesus taught in using these parables, is to bring a fresh approach that maybe we wouldn't expect and think of. And he covered so many common areas of life in that day, in that culture, from stories about kings to beggars to shepherds and sheep to the weather and vineyards and items like, household items like lanterns and relationships between fathers and sons, homes and money and the soil and seeds and weeds and nature, banquets and weddings. Just about every topic that was a part of everyday life that people could connect to, that wasn't over their heads, that was just very, very common and earthy and easy to relate to. And so as we jump into a parable today that was an experience that everybody in the culture at the time would experience, it was very much one that hit home, especially in an arid area where sometimes the weather would hit and the rivers would raise and the floodwaters would come along. And so we're going to talk about what it means to dig deep. And Jesus, this parable was recorded in two different Gospels, both in Matthew and in Luke. And I was so on the fence with which one to share with you this week, I just got to do both. Okay, and you'll kind of see how Matthew tells it one way, and Jesus, I mean, he probably shared this parable many times, and Luke picks up on it on a little different version, and it's fun to see the overlaps, but also what was unique. And so let me read this to you, and then we'll kind of talk it through as we go. Well, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, stop. Okay, so I shared a little bit last week that every parable, for the most part, has some sort of context that's going on. Some of them seem like they kind of come out of nowhere, but pretty much all of them, something's going on. Well, Jesus here in Matthew, and then Luke also, has just finished what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And it's like one of the, I mean, it's the most amazing sermon ever given. It takes three chapters to write it all down, and right on the tail end, Jesus kind of says, everything you've heard me saying, if you put those words into practice, well, here's a word picture to help you understand how that's going to affect your life. So therefore, everyone who's just heard these words and who continues to hear these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Okay, it was kind of cute yesterday to see these kids. Okay, because when we first got to the beach, and this thing was still, you know, kind of being formed, I mean, tide was way down there. But you could kind of observe tide. The tide was coming up, and so it's kind of fun for me, especially I'm kind of going, knowing what I'm talking about today. I'm like, I'm kind of watching, okay, how firm foundation these guys are building this fortress of sand. It's not going to last. These waves are going to crush it. But I tell you what, these guys did a pretty good job. For the most part, it held up pretty well, and they were plugging holes as that tide was coming up. But it was fun to see. There was some good engineering going on here. And this is what's fun about this particular parable for me, because if you know, and I've shared a little bit about my background, this is the civil engineering parable. Okay, this is like where we get to see a little bit of Jesus's family upbringing. You know, we know his father Joseph was a carpenter; he was a builder, and so Jesus grew up in construction. One of the things that me and Jesus might have in common, and so God, you know, he got to see his dad, you know, do all sorts of work. You know, and probably very often he got to hear from his dad, and I know I have, what is a proper way to build something and what's not a proper way. And before you do any sort of work, it's all about preparing the foundation. And it just rings your ears. I kind of wish, I know a lot of you guys have been praying for my dad, and I really appreciate it. He's still in the hospital, and he's got another procedure going on tomorrow. We appreciate more prayer. He's getting a little stronger each day, but please continue to pray for him. I kind of wish he was here, especially for this one, but then again, I know he would kind of give me a lesson afterwards that I left out and really didn't explain too well. And so I've got mixed feelings about that, but I'll catch him up one-on-one here this week later on this. And so, okay, so Luke's version gets a little more detailed on the engineering side of the parable. So let me read through that. So Jesus is, you know, same kind of thing. Theme, you know, don't just believe, do something with it. Don't just hear my words, put them into practice. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? And remember, Lord simply means master. You know, what you say on the one hand, you believe in the authority that I'm bringing to you and representing to you from God, but unless you do something with it, it's never going to impact your life. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck, the house collapsed, and its destruction was complete. And Jesus probably saw this. He probably saw Joseph do many repairs where homes, you know, people lived in homes, maybe lost their homes because the foundation wasn't prepared right. Because they didn't dig deep enough down into the soil and prepare it and try to get down into the rocky, harder layer through the sand, and they just went right on the bare ground. Now, some of you guys, most of you know that we just got back from a mission trip to the orphanage in Mexico, to Rancho. And our primary construction task there was to build a foundation. And boy, some of the boys and the girls that worked real hard on it, remember how tough the digging was through that dirt. But we had to get down to a certain depth so that this foundation would be strong enough. And we'd fill up these footing trenches with concrete, and by the end of the week, it, you know, perimeter there to continue to, for the next team to come in and build on. And it was exciting, but tough work. And it's tough to lay a proper foundation. It would have been so much easier to just, you know, grade that thing smooth or whatever and just, you know, build right on top of it. But would it last? No, it wouldn't last. We had to be a certain depth. We had to have reinforcing steel all through there and then mix the concrete just right and continue to build on that. So all these walls that would go up and the flooring would be tied in deep. And that foundation would be strong, and it would be campus housing that would last many, many years for many, many more students that are going to be brought in from the community because of what Rancho is doing to serve the kids in the Tijuana area. Now, let me tell you what happens when you don't take the time to build, you know, and you just build right on top of the ground as is. In post-World War II old neighborhoods here in Pleasant Hill. So I don't know if you can see, this is our living room floor at our house. Okay, so if Jesus was telling this parable here locally, you know, he would have used clay. Just don't even build anything in Pleasant Hill, all right, you know, inside of town because everything's clay and just excavate it out, bring in good soil. That soil in Rancho is great building soil. And so that was one of the things I, you know, first told my dad when I got back. Yeah, you should have seen the dirt in Tijuana. It was great. Oh, yeah, done jobs there. We did a highway, you know, anyway. But, and so you can't really see what's going on here, but we've done so much floor leveling. But the one place we just haven't been able to form is the time when you get around to our living room floor. And I don't know if anybody's ever twisted an ankle walking into our, you know, for Bible study or anything, but this thing just dives down at probably a 2% slope. I mean, that's like what roadways are supposed to have for drainage, right? Anyway, and so because, I remember going, what is going on with this house when we first moved into the neighborhood? I remember going under the house, and I don't know, how often do anybody been under the house? Kind of scary and creepy, right? We just have a couple of, like, piers, thank you. Wow, that's impressive. That's exactly the word I was looking for. Blocking piers right on this crummy clay. That if clay gets wet at all, it's just Play-Doh. I mean, it just gets squishy, and then you've got a squishy house. But nobody took the time for those interior piers to dig down and put something solid to put those blocks on. And so it's just sitting right on the ground. And this is what Jesus was saying is, don't do that. You're going to have a squishy house. You're going to have a squishy life. And Jesus wants our lives to be strong. And he doesn't say if the streams rise, if the rains come, if the torrents hit. He says when, because he knows. And that's what's so great about the Bible in general. Is it's honest. It never shrinks from the challenges of real life. And Jesus was very honest. He says life is going to be full of challenges, but you can be ready for those challenges when they come along if you listen to my words, take them to heart, and put them into practice. And then you won't be blown around. You won't feel like your world is falling apart. Those frustrations, those disappointments, those shocks, those losses, those heartbreaks. We live in a tough, fallen world with a lot of woundedness and a lot of hurt. It's going to come around and it's going to impact your life. But how will you be impacted? Will you be ready? Will you be able to handle it? You can. In fact, you can handle it with great confidence, power, and security, if you let my words be your foundation. And so, I just love that picture. These kids worked so hard in those, literally in those trenches. But I want to ask the question for all of us today is, how deep are we digging? Because it's hard to build a proper foundation. It takes time. It takes some effort. It takes some sacrifices and some resources. And so that's why Jesus was saying, you're putting a lot of work in a lot of places in your life. You're putting time, money, energy, talents in all kinds of places. But are those the best places really for you? Are you matching that kind of effort into what's really going to matter and impact and make a difference in your life? Are you going to dig down deep and build the right foundation? So I want to talk about a few ways that we can best together hear those words and go as deep as we possibly can. So I kind of want to start at the first level, depth that we can go to together. And it's right now as a church family. It's on Sundays when we come together. And I love this passage in Colossians 3. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And it's something we need to do at least once a week. You know, where we come together. But life, it has a lot of distractions. I mean, and a lot of fun things. And it's, you know, right here is a good example. It's summer, you know, and we're looking around, we're missing a lot of friends, but church on Sunday is like the one time when we can see most of our church family and come together and track with each other God's word and let it impact us all as a community. And, you know, and be kind of on the same page. And that's why one of the reasons I like doing, you know, message series, you know, together is it kind of gives us some continuity. And I love it when, you know, somebody misses a Sunday, you know, hey, so what parable did you talk about? Or what are you going to talk about this Sunday? Because I'm going to miss it. And it kind of gives us a way to, as a church family, track with each other. Kind of be on the same page. We're all coming from different places and we all have different needs, but this is a common denominator that we can share as a faith community, where if you're part of Sunday church, you're letting the same words from God's heart to ours, you know, pass through you. And it's a way we can connect with each other. It builds a bridge with each other. But it's really the first step that we can take, because for one thing, it's once a week. And for another, this might be the only time you even see somebody from church is here on a Sunday. And you're mostly, okay, the one thing that I don't like about Sunday church, tell me. It's that I do all the talking, you know, and I like it, you know, when we interact and do some things like that. But that's why small groups are so important, where we can kind of scale things down and hear more from each other. Now, it's a little impractical on Sunday, you know, but we do it sometimes, and it kind of gets a little messy, but it's fun, you know, to hear. We don't have really the time, and we're not set up that great to kind of hear everybody's two cents and be prepared for a good discussion. But small groups at a home, in a family room, are just perfect for that. And you can really become more part of each other's lives. And I just love the way Jesus encouraged that. He said, for where just two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there. Something special happens when just even a few of us get together to open our hearts up to God's Word, pray for each other, and we can go another notch deeper in building this foundation of letting God's truth and His will for our lives get to us. But special things happen in small groups. What I love about, okay, so, you know, we've got a few groups around our church. We've got a women's group on Thursday mornings. We've got a Thursday night small group open to everyone. And we're ready to start more groups. We're just always kind of inviting and hoping more people will get in and get involved. But what's so great is you might read and prepare for this week's, you know, discussion, and you might see a passage a certain way. Or right now in our Thursday night group, we're reading a book based on one of the lines in the Beatitudes, which is the first paragraph in that Sermon on the Mount that I mentioned, that says the meek will inherit the earth. And the name of the book is How to Inherit the Earth. And it's all about having a meek lifestyle. What does that mean? And so, but I remember, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, Emily. I'm going to try not to. I'm going to actually brag about you. But it was in one of these discussions where I didn't even see this coming. We were talking about a parable that we're going to talk about next month in August. It's one of those banquet parables. And Emily goes, hey, can we do this in our church? And I'm all, I don't know. How would that look like? She said, well, we're pretty good at feeding ourselves. Because you know how we do our Sunday potlucks every month on the last Sunday of the month? What if we went out and fed some other people? And so that's all I'm going to say about that. I'm going to be talking a lot about it come August, okay? But it was in that small group time when we're all looking at the same words of Jesus. That didn't occur to anybody else that we could actually put that into practice in a specific way as a church. You know, we had other little angles and applications, but it is, in my opinion, and I can just see this happening for our August potluck, going to be a really unique experience. I'm going to be talking more about it. We're going to look at that parable come August and all that, but I couldn't, I mean, to me it's such a great example of why a small group is so necessary. You need other people closely speaking into your life. Okay, but it can go deeper. It can go deeper than this on a Sunday, our whole community. You can get deeper with a small group and other specific voices influencing you based on Jesus' words. But the one bummer about the Thursday night group is I only get to see those guys twice a month. It's every other Thursday. It's great because of how close we've become and how knitted our lives get by doing that. But still, it's only twice a month that I get to enjoy that group. But you know what you don't never have to wait for? You never have to wait for yourself. And so here's one more level deeper. Is your own time. Carving out your own time with Jesus' words. And I love how the psalmist in Psalm 119 puts it. I'll study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. And that word study, in the Hebrew, some translations translate it meditate. It's more than just read. Remember, it's really let sink in. It's a real deep, you know, a meditation of, you know, what does this really mean? What does it mean for me? What needs to change in my life for me to really align with what God is calling me to be and to become? And as much, you know, I barely get those guys, you know, for an hour and a half, twice a month on Thursday. But there's things that Emily and Brian and Krista and Annalisa and Nick and Toby and Lena and Denise will say that I can spend all of the next week, you know, really going, you know what, I never thought about it that way. I want to go deeper into this passage based on that. And then when I'm preparing to meet with it, and I'm looking at this passage, I know that I can look forward. I don't have to figure it all out. But I can start to make different applications based on, you know, the different personalities. But I get so much more time with myself because I never have to wait for you guys on, you know, for that next Thursday night. I got every day an opportunity to go deeper. With that passage, with those words. are you letting yourselves get pulled and stretched into God's Word? If it's a daily basis, that is amazing. But even a few times a week, if you took three pockets of your week of 15 minutes to just read and listen and try to align your life with God's words, God promises that that is going to have a huge impact on your life. So, when those storms hit, you will be affected. You will be reshaped now because of those words. Let me give you an example. This is one that now is a lifesaver for me. When the stress is hit and the worries come. Now I'm a worrier. Not a worry. A war. I'm that. Okay? I worry a lot. I come from a very distinguished long line of warriors, actually. My mom, my grandma before her. We're great at worrying about everything. And it's not good. It's not good. It's not good for us to be so caught up in trying to control and maneuver and manipulate and do so much on our own, because it's saying that we don't believe that. I'm saying that I don't believe that God can handle those things. And it goes directly against Jesus's incredible direction and advice for our lives. I tell you, do not worry about everyday life. Your Heavenly Father already has it all together. He knows just what you need, way better than you even know yourself. But do this. Make this your priority. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything you need. And, I shared a little bit about my dad's health. And, you know, it's right in the middle of my parents are in a transition, selling a home, moving into a different place. Now my dad's in the hospital, and it's been a great opportunity for me to get to step up and serve them. They've been serving me my whole life. They serve my kids. I mean, my parents are just these, such amazing people and parents. It's been such a pleasure for me to get to give back, but I'm overwhelmed. I mean, there's so many little things that keep me up at night that I'm worrying about, that I'm trying to put together, and I caught myself this last week, trying to say, okay, well, I'm not going to be able to, get this done or do this. The things that are, I'm looking for ways to give myself as much time and opportunity as I can. And I almost canceled our prayer night Thursday night. How we do our monthly first Thursday of the month, we call it Elevate, where we meet right here and we pray for all the needs of the church. And but because those words were somewhere deep down inside, it stopped me. And it was like, Rick, don't worry. Keep your priorities straight. And your priority right now is prayer, if it ever was. Don't you dare cancel that. Just to add yourself, 1 hour to your week. Oh, but I need that hour. Yeah, you need that hour to be praying with prayers. That just sort of bled into other meetings and things that I was trying to decide, okay, what's needed, what can be put off. It was just this breath, being able to take a breath and relax and trust in God, that I don't have to do it all, and that He's going before me. And just let me share a little bit about how the perfect place came up, that I was spending so much time and scrambling, and realtors were saying, you know what, really you need to change you can't be this picky here, because what you're looking for, it's just, you're not going to find it in that price range. It's just too hard to find, these ground floor units, this space, this combination of rooms, a garage, a parking, all that kind of stuff. The perfect place came up. And just as soon as I relaxed about it. As soon as I trusted and put into practice these words that God reminded me of. That I tried to spend time in the past, yet still so easily let slip by. Thankfully, God made it stick, and it made it a difference, and I got to see it. And just one more encouragement, one more story to share, that if we do take the time to let His words make a difference, it'll change us. And it's reshaping, and it's making my house, my life, stronger, because those torrents do come. The winds blow, the streams rise, and it can be stressful. And so how are we going to handle those challenges? Will we dig deep to have that kind of a strength and foundation in our life, through our church family, being part of a small group, and taking time one-on-one with God to go as deep as possible into His words and let them form and have that foundation for our lives. And so let me say a little prayer, and I want to pray a little bit for my dad too. But as Keith comes up and leads us in some more worship, I want to go back to that word of meditate. You know, and the reason we always do a couple more songs after the message isn't just to fill time or something. It's because we believe, just like in Colossians 3, it says to sing these songs, sing these spiritual songs, but it's after we hear God's Word, we can meditate some more and kind of reflect. And sometimes that's the most amazing time, when we've let God's Word penetrate our hearts, and now we're singing back to Him, but now we've got more of a reason, something to really think on, reflect on, as we're letting our hearts go back to Him. And so I hope you do that. I hope you do that as we lift our voices up. This is a time when God's speaking to our hearts, and we want to reflect that back to Him. And as we do every Sunday, you're invited to Jesus' table, and just in your own timing, and spend as much or as little time as you want at His table, because we believe that we need that reminder and that connection as a church family every week. And so why don't we stand and let me just say a little prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You. Lord Jesus, thank You for these stories that create these great images in our minds. And Lord, that we can put these into practice, and we can put Your Word into practice. But help us to do that. Help us to do that as a church family and in small groups and on our own. And let all three of those ways just really make us stronger and make our lives hold up to all the different forces that are pushing and tugging on us in so many different directions, so often away from You. And Lord, I just thank You for the lesson that You taught me this week. And Lord, I always feel like when I learn that kind of a lesson, I've got to share it with the church. And so even though sometimes it's a little embarrassing for me, Lord, I pray that You would continue to strengthen my dad, strengthen my mom. She needs to care more for him. Strengthen me as I have the opportunity to serve two people that have served me so well and so much for so long. And Lord, thank You for the example that they have given me on having a strong foundation. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would all dig deep to find Your strength in our lives. We pray in Your name. Amen. But he said He would lead us in an old hymn that maybe some of you know.